The Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involves varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Know the difference. Now, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
From high hopes to low expectations, welcome. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. First weekend of May. How about that? Here we go. In the next hour, six benefits to setting up a trust. One of them is peace of mind. And I can say this, Dave, as an employee of Annex Wealth Management, also a client, we just got our trust done.
Right.
Mama is so happy.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that's all part of the process.
It is. Because you know what? Happy wife,
happy life. Yep. You got it.
That's on the way. Ask Annex is coming up. And then we often talk about the Annex Wealth Management Portfolio Review. But how does that work? What happens when that happens? We'll go into detail on that. I'm Danny Clayton. Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, is here. Hey, Brian.
It's good to be here.
Dave Spano, President, CEO. Welcome to you.
Yeah, you set it up as we're in the beginning of May. And at the end of the show, we'll talk about the old adage, sell in May and go away. But for right now, what we do want to talk about is the activity that we saw on Friday morning when we had a weaker than expected jobs report. Only 175,000, expected 240,000. Unemployment rate went up just a tick.
Yes, it did. Yeah, went from 3.8% to 3.9%. Still a very good number. And actually, you know, that 175,000, it was below expectations. And I think this was one of the first times in a long time that Wall Street's expectations were missed to the downside. Mm-hmm. What we've seen over the last year, the average pace of job creation has been 240,000 per month. And so a lot of people were expecting that higher number. And instead, it comes in at 175, and the markets seem to really like that. Not only because it probably shows that the labor market has gone from like great to good, but the wage growth has actually really moderated. The wages, I think, increased only about 0.2% month on month. Year on year was 3.9%. Seems pretty consistent with a low inflation environment going forward.
So you talked about a lot of stuff there. So let's break that apart. The average hourly earnings only up 7 cents. That's the 2/10 that you were talking about, and the average hourly work week went down a tick as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a bit of a surprise, but as you pointed out, the bond markets reacted to that because it really pushed the odds up of a rate cut later in the year from around 50% to 70%, according to CME, in September. So when the interest rates went down, some of the risk assets began to rally.
That's correct. Yeah, and now we're back in this really dance where if interest rates go down, that tends to be good for especially growth stocks, it seems like. Sometimes, you know, stocks in the bond market, they can go their own way, but they've been really tightly tethered together. And a lot of it is just because the common driver of the Federal Reserve. Right. What are they going to do? When are they going to do it?
In a weird way, bad news is good news because we want wages to go up, but it did moderate inflation just a bit because of that. And so when we see treasury yields go down, you know that when yields go down, prices go back up. So the Fed is front and center again, probably talking about a rate cut later in the year. But we also saw some economic news and we saw some earnings news as well. We saw Apple, their sales not where they wanted to be, but their earnings was okay.
That's right. And I think that's where really the low expectations came in, because really over the last month or so, it seems like a lot of people have thought, you know what, Apple, are they really in this artificial intelligence game or not? There have been reports about how maybe they are going to be teaming up with Google or Microsoft for the AI capabilities. And so when the earnings came out, there were those low expectations. We know that they've had challenges in China. The iPhone sales there were down, I think it was about 8 to 9% year on year, because the government over there has told government employees not to use their iPhones, right. Much prefer to use the Huawei devices or, you know, the Chinese devices instead.
So, and Huawei is their provider over there versus Apple. Correct?
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that was a lot of people expecting that you were going to see this decline in revenues, but their earnings were better than I think people feared. And those buybacks, $110 billion.
So let's explain that, Professor. Of course, when a company buys their shares back, what happens?
Sure. Well, they go out into the market and they basically say, hey, we have, in Apple's case here, $110 billion that over the course of the next quarter, that they're going to use that to buy back their shares in the market. And effectively, if you hold on to your shares, you are owning a slightly bigger slice of the pie.
So less shares
are out
there.
Yeah, you have less shares out there, so it helps prop up the earnings per share. So it's not necessarily going to help the total earnings of Apple, but when you divide it by the number of shares out there, they're shrinking the number of shares. And sometimes these buybacks are viewed as a management's view that maybe the shares are undervalued. So there's kind of this signaling effect that can happen too, where the company's like, you know what? We are so confident in our growth that we think that the shares are undervalued, so we'd like to buy those.
So let's wrap this all up. The fight in inflation is a long game for certain, and we can see around the world, Swiss National Bank and others are also starting to see this as well. It's headed generally in the right direction.
That's right, in the right direction, but at a glacial pace, it really seems like. The Eurozone, they are likely to start cutting rates already in June. We also have, say, Japan, which is on the other side, where they're likely to start hiking rates. There have been some interventions by their bank for their currency, and really, they need to, we're sort of the last man standing with negative interest rates. Now we have the Federal Reserve, where there's a fairly high bar for the Fed to start hiking rates again, but a fairly low bar for them to start cutting. Market is beginning to price in, as you said earlier, maybe 50% probability, 70% probability sometime in September or November.
Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spano is our President and CEO. That is our Week in Review. You want to hear it again, you can catch it as a podcast at the top of the hour. It's also going to be in the Axiom newsletter, which delivers on Sunday. So you can sign up for that. Don't have to be a client for that. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Sunday, May 5th. Still to come, 6 benefits to setting up a trust. We're going to be right back on 92.5 Fox News.
At Annex Wealth Management, we believe every portfolio tells a story. After all, we've analyzed thousands. Some reflect diligence and fortitude. Others, a mishmash of overlapping investments. When Annex reviews your portfolio, we spot what works, what might not, and then provide unbiased suggestions free from sales commissions. Every portfolio tells a story. Let's work on yours. Investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. As a fee-only fiduciary, that's our story. Head to AnnexWealth.com.
We're back. Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite. We're going to meet you right where you're at. Start at AnnexWealth.com. Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management in the studio. Dave Spano is President and CEO.
Danny, you'll remember years ago when you had your father in the studio when we were doing the show, and you know, we got a chance to talk about how we feel about money. And one of those things that came out of that, you learn from your parents, you learn from your spouses and your teachers about your relationship with money.
Pay yourself first over and over and over. That was his biggest thing. That save. That and save.
Right.
Right.
And that's part of his heritage too.
Yeah,
is, right.
So, well, the greatest generation. Yeah, I think that's
no
what
question.
They're,
yeah, yeah. And so the reason why I bring that up is there's a term in economics, Brian, called the wealth effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is when you look at your 401k statement or you see the value of your home, for example, and it's going up,
yeah,
your confidence goes up, and then that means that people will probably spend more. I mean, it's an
sure
economic axiom, if
yep
you will. That's the reason why we watch these retail stocks,
mm-hmm,
and that's an important aspect of this conversation.
It really is, especially since consumer confidence and consumer sentiment. So a couple different surveys that come out periodically. One is from the Conference Board, the other from University of Michigan. It's been talking about this vibe session, about how people just aren't really feeling that the economy is doing as well as what it might be.
Right.
Now, if you look at what the equity market has done since, you know, the COVID lows, people were feeling good. They saw their 401k balances grow from being a 201k to a 401k, and that helped a lot. But now people have been feeling a little bit more skittish. And, you know, we see the wage data that people are still, you know, wages are increasing, but inflation is still relatively high.
And let me just jump in there. So if you look back, and this is not a political argument, folks,
mm-hmm,
but over the last 4 years, we're seeing prices up 20% in
yeah
aggregate.
Yeah.
That means that prices are up. And that doesn't mean that if inflation starts to moderate, that they're going back down to where
Correct.
They were. That means that the rate of change is less.
That's right. Yeah. And that's a key thing that I think a lot of people really don't understand about inflation is that lower inflation doesn't mean lower prices. That would be called deflation. Mm-hmm. And so until we actually see inflation come in where it's more like background noise as opposed to being front and center all the time, I think people are going to continue to feel as though maybe they're not doing as well as what they are. And retail stocks are a really good example, I think, a barometer of how people are feeling and how the market is pricing what might come down the road. Derek Felsky, our chief investment officer, has really been focusing on this about how retail stocks have underperformed year to date. Now, what that really is, we look at the consumer discretionary area. So that would be like Amazon is in there. If you think about all the purchases that you can make from there, they're doing pretty well, their stock. Another one that's been doing pretty well, like Chipotle, they've done well. But the rest of consumer discretionary, when we look at, say, Starbucks, McDonald's, Home Depot, they have really struggled, especially lately. Maybe the market is beginning to try to sniff out the idea that there is some of that. Consumers are feeling that pinch a little bit.
And that is because of the higher prices, right?
Yep.
And so people then think, maybe I should spend less in this area or that area. And that's the reason why we look at that. And, you know, you can buy a basket of stocks. You can buy these individual names that we're talking about. But I do want to transition just a bit. And if you wanted to buy the whole basket of retail stocks, you can do that in an exchange-traded fund called XLY. And that's, and explain a little bit about how you buy the entire basket versus these individual names, because I get that question pretty often, that you talk about this stock and that stock, but we're just trying to use it as a place marker.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's because people can relate to, say, Starbucks as opposed to XLY. They might be like, what is that, right? Are you talking a foreign language? But it is really a basket of a number of stocks that, according to some research firms, and this one specifically is from MSCI, a research firm, where they take all of the companies in the S&P 500, those 500 companies, and kind of break them into different sectors. And then you can buy those different sectors. So instead of buying a specific stock, you can buy the sector. Now, we tend to prefer to look at the stocks themselves. We do allocate to the sectors in some of the strategies, but we get a lot of information, we think, not just from looking at the relative performance, how are consumers doing versus industrials or materials or utilities, but then hearing the stories. When Jason Cooper, our director of equity research, he sits in on a lot of these calls to find out what's really going on, what's the story behind those earnings.
Dr. Brian Jacobson is our chief economist. Dave Spano, president and CEO, Annex Wealth Management. We got him for the rest of the show. Thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging with us. Still to come, 6 benefits to setting up a trust. Ask Annex is coming up. And then, what exactly happens during the Annex Wealth Management portfolio review? This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Market volatility, global issues. We hear about inflation easing, but it's still a real issue. More than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans like you feel uncertain about their financial future. Just 59% of affluent Americans felt secure last year, and that's down from the year before. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennial families with big dreams, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. Our goal is a plan that prepares you to maintain your desired lifestyle throughout retirement. Investments are a start, but you may need more. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Annex Comprehensive Wealth fits most individuals and families, but if you've got high net worth with complex needs, Annex Private Client is your solution. Just starting out, Annex Ignite is a great choice. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Alec Durand is an estate planning attorney with Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Hi, Danny.
So when it comes to distribution of assets, most of us are familiar with wills. Not everyone is acquainted with trusts. And if they are, it might be through the term trust fund baby. We could talk about that later. Planning for giving either while alive or deceased puts you in charge. What you want will go to who you want and how you want and when you want. There's 6 benefits of trust that we're going to cover. Alex assists Annex clients in this process. We're going to get his perspective. Alec, the first is pretty apparent, but it's also really important. That's to better control the distribution of wealth.
Yeah, trusts are a great vehicle to consolidate assets and also control how you want your assets to pass. They're awesome for gathering all things up within one bucket, if you will, which is the trust itself. Once things are properly funded into a trust, you can have terms in that document that decide where do assets go, in what percentage or in what amounts do people inherit assets, and what type of controls are you going to have in place regarding how people receive those assets.
Second benefit to trust, keep your assets out of probate. There's a hassle right there you're dodging.
Yeah, absolutely. So probate is a state-by-state process. It's governed by state-specific rules. Every state has its own asset threshold limits for probate. One primary benefit to trusts is that assets passing through those pass outside of probate. So a properly funded trust can help you avoid court costs and time, and it can help make administration of your assets private.
Because court costs and times will add up, right?
Very quickly.
Yeah. Third benefit of trust, to ensure you make the decisions.
Yes, absolutely. So a properly drafted trust can make sure that all of your wishes are accomplished how you want them to. In the absence of a trust document or any estate planning document, you're going to be subject to the default rules of your estate. So having a trust in place can help make sure that decisions you want made are actually accomplished.
We're with Alec Durand, an estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. The six benefits of trusts. The fourth, minimize estate taxes and provide asset protection.
Right. A trust is a very flexible document in that you can decide how you want to leave assets to your beneficiaries. You can leave things outright, which is essentially where your beneficiary is just going to receive a check in whatever amount their share is. Or you can leave assets to them inside of a trust. Leaving assets in trusts to beneficiaries provides them with asset and creditor protection. It can help minimize the risk of creditors coming after them. Or if a beneficiary gets divorced after you pass away, assets inside of a trust are more difficult for an ex-spouse to get at. Now, there's two general categories of trusts, revocable trusts and irrevocable trusts. Irrevocable trusts can help reduce a person's federal estate tax burden. So having a properly funded trust and making sure you're talking to your wealth manager and whoever your advisor is and your estate planning attorney can help make sure that the best trust to meet your needs is prepared.
Talking about benefits of trust, number five, make things easier on your beneficiaries. Who wants to leave a mess behind?
Right. No one does. So a trust can really help provide that clear guidance of where you want things to go. It can make sure that your wishes are easily determined and provide a very clear pathway for your beneficiaries to get their assets to administer anything that's left inside of your estate.
Yeah, you can't control things from beyond the grave, but you can come close.
You can come close.
Right. And our final of six benefits to establishing a trust, and this might be the best, to obtain peace of mind. You must see this often.
All the time. And the primary benefit of a trust is really threefold. The first is probate avoidance, which we've already talked about. The second is that trusts are administered privately. They don't have to go through a public court process. They can stay out of the limelight. And so your wishes can be kept within your sphere of whomever your beneficiaries are. And the last thing is, again, it can provide asset protection to your beneficiaries and will really make sure that where, when, and how you want your assets distributed is accomplished.
Alec Durand is an estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
Inflation, market volatility, global unrest, a presidential election. You're not alone if you're feeling stressed about your investment and retirement planning. Take control with help from Annex Wealth Management. We'll build a plan that works for you, your family, and your investment and retirement goals. Annex offers financial planning at every level. Just starting out, there's Annex Ignite. If retirement is on the horizon, Annex Comprehensive Wealth is a great fit. If you've got high net worth and complex planning challenges, consider Annex Private Client. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. Annex Wealth.com.
Let's do Ask Annex. Here we go. Matt Morrissey, Director of Research, Annex Wealth Management. Welcome.
Hey, Danny.
Did I get that right?
You did. Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations. Good
Thank
title.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that Annex Wealth Management investment team is stacked and packed, and you are a great part of it.
Thank you very much.
Fred Coleman, CFP and a wealth manager, is here. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Danny.
If you got a question for us, you head to our website, annexwealth.com. Look for the Ask button if we can help. Just click that Get Started button. Question number one, we'll be taking RMDs next year. I don't hear of many taking monthly distributions. Is there a reason?
Well, you know, everyone is different. When it comes to monthly distributions, some people do decide to take it that way. That's really like if you want your income to come every month. So at the beginning of each year, your RMD amount is determined. Now, that can change each year. So if you do it monthly, then what it is this year can be different next year. So a lot of people may not like that. Also, by doing it that way, it does take away a little bit of the flexibility that you have when it comes to qualified charitable distributions, other tax planning opportunities that you may have throughout the year. Lastly, when you do wait the entire year, that does give you the ability to get a little bit more growth sometimes. Now, the market can go down, but a lot of people like to wait towards the end of the year to give the market time to get some growth, also get some income off of your investments and just take it in one big lump sum.
From an investment perspective, that part's important there because some people worry about the timing of taking that one large distribution throughout the year. And if we have a bad year like 2022, where the market sold off both on equities and fixed income all year, you know, you're taking a big chunk at potentially maybe the low, you know, or the worst part of the year. So some people do like to spread it out just to maybe calm them down a little bit about, are they taking it out at the right time or is this the wrong time to take it? The only other thing I would say, and this is generally going to be pretty minor because at least here at Annex, we're very, very cognizant of this, is transaction fees. You know, if you take it out throughout the year, there's a little bit more trading that we have to do to be able to do that. But knowing that from our side, we're very sensitive about that. We know that fees that go towards mutual fund purchases or sales are going to detract from the overall value and performance. So we're really thoughtful, but some people don't like it because of that. So there's ways that we can work around that. But a lot of times, you know, for people, it's more psychological than anything else. But I do know that we've had a client in the past that they got paid weekly when they worked. So when they retired, they wanted us to send money out to them every single week because they were so used to that pattern. And it was just like their paycheck that they're going to have after they retired. So they wanted it out weekly.
Ask Annex, next question. I'd like to retire next year, but it seems that's when a recession would happen. Bad idea? And first off, it's his question, not ours. We're not saying that it might not happen or happen next year.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, want to push back on that just from a standpoint of, do you know that we're going to have a recession next year? And if so, what's the market going to do? You know, traditionally markets sell off and bottom before the recession actually even happens, especially before it's actually called, because recessions are called in hindsight. There's a specific board that goes out and they're the official arbiters of when we had in a recession. And they're going to do it generally after we've already recovered. And they're going to say, hey, guys, remember last year when stuff seemed like it was pretty bad? Well, it was. You know, at that point, they're looking back. You're looking forward. It's really hard to time those things. You know, this is why I think financial planning and the stuff that you do and our financial planning team does, Fred, you know, is really important in terms of trying to plan those things out. But even just going back from the investment side for a second, what is important to me is, what does your asset allocation look like? And then how are you planning these types of things? Do you have a certain amount of money in the bank? Do you have a certain amount of money in savings? Do you have short-term bonds in the portfolio that can weather some of those distributions that you might need early and have enough of that buffer to allow, if we do have a market pullback, time for the equities to recover and have that growth portion of your portfolio, you know, help fund distributions later on in life?
Yeah, and we structure things for retirees based on their cash needs, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the big things also that's overlooked is when you first retire, having a nice amount of cash put to the side. So if you do face that risk, it's called sequence of return risk. If you have a really bad recession or a really bad market downturn at the beginning of your retirement, that could detrimentally affect your portfolio long term. Sometimes it's really important to have a load of cash depending on the other assets that you have. The other thing that's very important is stress testing your plan. We can look at your portfolio and say, okay, what if 2008 happened again, 2008, 2009? What if that happened? What would that do to your portfolio? What if last year happened, 2022, where bonds went down tremendously? How does that affect your portfolio? And run all those different scenarios 1,000 different times to see, are you okay? Are you not okay? And that's the big thing. You can't control what the market does, but you can test your plan to make sure that it can live up to whatever happens.
Fred Coleman, CFP, Wealth Manager, Annex Wealth Management, thank you.
Thank you.
Matt Morrissey, Director of Research at Annex Wealth Management and a CFP, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Market volatility, global issues. We hear about inflation easing, but it's still a real issue.
more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans like you feel uncertain about their financial future. Just 59% of affluent Americans felt secure last year, and that's down from the year before. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennial families with big dreams, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. Our goal is a plan that prepares you to maintain your desired lifestyle throughout retirement. Investments are a start, but you may need more. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Annex Comprehensive Wealth fits most individuals and families, but if you've got high net worth with complex needs, Annex Private Client is your solution. Just starting out, Annex Ignite is a great choice. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? When Dave Spano says, know what you own, it's not just a marketing phrase. To help explain what that means, I'm joined by Trevor Nargis, Supervisor, Trading Team at Annex Wealth Management. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, Danny. Happy to be here.
When we invite people to click that Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com, it puts a couple of things into motion. The wealth manager establishes contact, talk things over, learn more about the person or the person involved, and then work to gather material the investment team will use for analysis. Trev, what does that team need to begin?
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy. Typically, the most useful information for us is just going to be your recent statements. That'll help give us a lot of the information we need, such as what investments someone might hold and the quantities of various stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, you name it, that might be held in an account.
When you and the team have that stuff, what's the process? Just put it in the blender?
In a way, but I want to give a big shout out to our data analytics team. They play a big role in helping us compile all of that data that's provided. They put all that relevant information I alluded to from the statements into a format that myself and the investment team can then work with.
When that happens, as you're pouring through that data, are things starting to pop up?
Yeah, we start to see some higher level insights of what's going on underneath the hood, but we can see a lot of stuff pop up because we deal with a wide array of unique individuals with different situations and different backgrounds. We can see things like accounts with a laundry list of positions or maybe only a few individual stocks. You know, we can also see things where people might have lots of accounts scattered all over the place or even at different advisors and custodians.
Does a lack of diversification at some point start to emerge?
So yeah, we will see a multitude of different accounts, and we take all that into account when looking at both the individual account level and the overall household level. But with a lack of diversification, we see a lot of different things, but we can see both under-diversification and over-diversification. For example, we could see a large concentration in a small handful of something like healthcare stocks or even a big chunk of the portfolio invested in one single company. Now, on the flip side, we'll sometimes see over-diversification via someone owning several different target date funds and or asset allocation funds. So those products in and of themselves aren't inherently bad because at its core, diversification is a great thing for many individual investors. However, by owning several of those previously mentioned products, you know, you can end up with a lot of overlapping investments and create redundancies within the portfolio.
We're with Trevor Nargis, Supervisor Trading Team at Annex Wealth Management, talking about the Annex Wealth Management portfolio review. How about risk? Can you see when something's riskier than a client should have?
Yeah, so that comes down to us looking at the overall account, but also individual positions. So we kind of balance all that along the way. We can look at how aggressive are the equities? Are you maybe geared more towards growth names versus value names, things like that. But what's really important to take into account is risk appetite versus risk tolerance, if you will. That's always super important to note.
I'm sure you see portfolios that are loaded up with proprietary investment products. And to be clear, that's an investment that was invented, the XYZ Advisory Company Super Duper Fund, right? You see those things.
Yeah. So there's instances where you could see someone who comes over from another advisor and maybe their whole portfolio consists of that firm's product. So that could be a lot of, you know, that firm's own ETFs and mutual funds. Maybe they're good. Maybe they aren't. This could be because the firm might make commissions off of having their clients in a select list of products, which might incentivize who's ever constructing the portfolio to put the client into those products, even though there could be better options elsewhere. It's important to note, you know, Annex, we don't operate that way. We're a fee-only fiduciary. So we aren't tied to one fund company, and we have a broader universe of investments to choose from as a result.
So the investment team, they've done the forensic analysis. We can then get back with the prospective client and with the wealth manager, lay things out in black and white.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The whole goal of the analysis is to slice and dice the portfolio and point out what we see. We can talk through what's good and where there might be room for improvement. Now, if we see areas where improvements can be made, we definitely want to make that known and have a conversation around it to help someone better understand what they might own and why they own it. You know, our team looks into a wide array of things such as factor exposure, sector, country, fundamental data points, etc., and we want to talk through all that.
Our local investment team is not hidden, Trevor. It's not uncommon to see you guys engaged with wealth managers and clients in person and on Zoom.
No, so not at all. I mean, our team does a weekly podcast called the SWAT Podcast. It's available on an array of platforms for anyone in the public to tune into. But like you said, Danny, we routinely have members of the team jumping into meetings to discuss what we're seeing, what we're watching, and what we're doing within portfolios.
Yeah, I see it all the time, and I think it's really effective. Investment, retirement planning, tax planning, estate planning, it's what we do as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. Website annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Trevor Nargis, Supervisor, Trading Team at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Danny.
Losing sleep lately? The job, the house, the headlines, or investments? How about the feeling your investment partner isn't a partner at all? They might be operating in someone's best interest, but that someone isn't you. It's time for Annex Wealth Management. It's easy. Head to annexwealth.com, click the Get Started button. We work in your best interest as a fiduciary. That commitment runs so deep, we put it in writing. Does your advisor do that? Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Start at annexwealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Mark Beck is Chief Growth Officer at Annex. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Annex works with individuals, couples, and families, but there's more. We also work with businesses, and that's what we're going to talk about here. Annex for Business just makes sense. We're built with strong investment, planning, and tax teams. Same fundamentals can apply to a well-run organization, and you've heard segments featuring our 401k team before. Mark, let's talk about what Annex does for businesses with benefits programs from your perspective as Chief Growth Officer.
Well, you know, the benefits is a great way to impact many aspects of the business, areas that we feel like we can really have a positive impact and influence. First of all, you think about it from the perspective of what the business is trying to accomplish with the benefits program. Of course, provide a great resource for their employees to be financially secure and build for the future, and then attract and retain that talent as well as part of the business. So multiple components. But to do that, you need an advisor for that 401k. It's complex. It's not your core business. You want to focus on the things you do really well and let a firm like Annex do that. So we provide either 321 or 338 investment advisory services as the fiduciary, which means we can take those roles and be impactful in ways that can help put you in a situation where the plan is accomplishing the business's goals and the goals for the employee. And then we can take it a few steps beyond that, which is into things like employee education, for example. A great plan, but you don't have guidance and advice, you're not exactly sure what to do or how to do it well as an employee, is about as good as the great cookbook for you and I, Danny, if we have no clue on how to cook.
You know, last couple of years, it was all about attracting employees, but also retaining employees, because there's so much job hopping. And I think really when you start to dig down beyond just the regular compensation, it's that benefits package which makes people stick around. It certainly has in my case over my career.
And I think it's about stick around, but then also more deeply engaging. And I think that's where we really start to separate ourselves from other advisory firms that might just be about the X's and O's of the 401k plan. But to get you engaged as an employee as to what are the decisions that you need to make that are going to be impactful over the next decades into your future.
We're with Mark Beck, Chief Growth Officer at Annex Wealth Management. We're talking about Annex for Business. Now, 401k is a big part, but so is Annex Executive. It's an offering from Annex that complements Annex Private Client. Mark, as Chief Growth Officer, you have a lot of exposure to that type of client with Annex.
You know, the business benefits when the executives are focused on what they're doing at work, and one of the ways to support that is to give that level of executive the support that they need in their home personal financial picture. We're into an environment where some of that planning becomes more complex. You know, you're looking at things like long-term incentive compensation, which can be impactful on the tax picture, the cash flow picture, you know, deferred compensation benefits, executive retirement benefits become part of this. So we're looking at the sequencing as we accumulate assets for financial security, but do that in a way where the perceived benefits to the executive are aligned with the benefits that the company wants to provide, which is incentives for growth and focus on the business, financial security, lack of distractions on the home front so the executive can stay focused on the role at work.
We do insurance planning for them as well, tax
guidance for them as well, investment management for them as well. And again, get rid of those distractions, but really kind of streamline or complement what they have.
Right. It's, you know, the organization and planning is so important in this space. If you think about the tax impact of long-term incentive compensation and things like acceptable trading windows, you know, and the desire to manage the concentration risk, but all in a situation where the desired incentive is being met from the business's perspective. So, you know, you're really coordinating a lot of different forces.
Mark Beck is Chief Growth Officer at Annex Wealth Management. This is a conversation about Annex for Business. Running a little bit short on time, but foundations and endowments are also under that umbrella. Can you just give it at least just a snapshot of how Annex would assist with that?
Yeah, foundations, public charities, you know, they tend to have endowment funds. So this is the money that allows the charity to achieve its goals, some of that being short-term money, some of it being long-term money. So what we're able to do is engage to help with the cash flow planning and the long-term investment planning that supports foundations and endowments and charities. It's a great way for us to be engaged in the causes within our community and to be able to support those and give back.
We want you to know about Annex for Business. We want you to know the difference. Our website is annexwealth.com. You can click that Get Started button and start the wealth metric process. You can also read more about Annex for Business. Mark Beck is Chief Growth Officer at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for your time.
Happy to be here.
Inflation, market volatility, global unrest, a presidential election. There's a lot going on, which might lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. You're not alone if you're feeling stressed about your investment and retirement planning. How about this? Take control with help from Annex Wealth Management. Build a plan that works for you, your family, and your investment and retirement goals. Even better, Annex does it as a fee-only fiduciary with unbiased advice that includes tax and estate planning. Annex offers financial planning at every level. If you're just starting out, Annex Ignite might be for you. Annex Comprehensive Wealth is a great fit for most, especially with retirement on the horizon. And if you've got high net worth and complex planning challenges, consider Annex Private Client. Head to annexwealth.com and click the Get Started button. It only takes a few minutes to start the conversation, and you can set your own appointment at a time that works for you. It's time to put things in order and lower the stress and anxiety. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management. annexwealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Amy Bremer, a CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Thanks, Danny.
You know, in life, we like to think it's about the journey more than the destination. But with retirement planning, that's the destination. We want it to be what you desire. But you're also smart enough to know that once you pass one finish line, there are other challenges. And there will be challenges in the first 10 years of retirement. And I can all sense the currently retired folks that are listening are nodding in agreement. Amy, you have guided clients to retirement. But at that point, none of us are done.
No, retirement's actually kind of the starting line, actually.
We're going to talk about challenges you might encounter. One might be managing cash flow. And Amy, some people might say, hey, listen, I did just fine when I was getting a paycheck. What's the difference?
Well, you're not getting a paycheck anymore, right? So you have to replace that paycheck. And you also want to keep in mind that there are some unexpected expenses that will pop up in retirement. Things like roofs need to be replaced, water heaters need to be replaced, maybe you need to get a new car, and healthcare. Healthcare is a huge expense in retirement. So we want to plan for those things ahead of time and manage them. One of the things that I work with families on is something called a sustainable withdrawal amount. That's around 4% of your nest egg annually. So you want to take that 4% and recreate yourself the paycheck where you are paying yourself.
Challenges in the first 10 years of retirement. The second would be balancing growth and income. And again, like you pointed out, you're the paycheck provider now, and you're doing that via your savings and your investing.
Yeah, this part is huge, and it's often overlooked by retirees because they're saying to themselves, okay, I'm not working anymore. I don't have a paycheck. I can't have any stock. And I'm like, well, you got to have stock to grow that portfolio for your 80th and 87th year, but you need to have some bonds and some cash to fund your lifestyle now. So it's truly a balance between those growth stock investments and those income producing bond investments. And it's a balance that you want to have.
And need.
And need. And yeah. It's really easy if you're doing it yourself to not do that one the best. So it'd be better to work with a professional like someone from the Annex team.
And we know people.
We do know people.
We do. We're with Amy Brimmer, CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Challenges you might encounter in the first 10 years of retirement. The third is a big one. We talk about it all the time.
How to spend your time. And I'm very passionate about this one, Danny, because a lot of folks, especially Americans, when you go to a cocktail party, the first thing you say, you know, what's your name and what do you do? We define our personal selves by our jobs. And once that goes away, we sometimes lose a sense of self. So I really work with families at practice here in Annex to talk about their hobbies, talk about their children and grandchildren, talk about travel, or even starting a business, something that to keep you busy in retirement, because retirement's a long time, 20, 30 years for most folks. You want to remember, too, that retirement is front-end loaded, where you're going to spend a lot more money and time on those hobbies and traveling, checking off those lists on that bucket list, those items. And then after that, things kind of wane off. You've checked off all your lists.
People between 65 and 74 have almost 7 hours of leisure time a day. And it's not even leisure if you're really staying busy, but you got to fill that up. What might you encounter in the first 10 years of retirement? Number four, planning for large purchases. You talked a little bit about that earlier.
A little bit. Things like cars. Those are big ones. And cars, gosh, are so expensive right now. We talked about helping a kid or a grandchild with wedding expenses. Things unexpected. How do you plan for that? So it's really important to work with a certified financial planner like someone from the Annex team. We have really sophisticated software that we can run through those scenarios to let you know if what you're considering is feasible. I'll give you a real life example. A current client of mine came to me and said, we want to build a house. Can we do that? Sure enough, we ran through the plan. They had all their details, their building expenses, interest rate expenses for the mortgage. And yeah, they can afford to do it. And they were like, really? Yeah, you can. So if there's power in working with a professional to help navigate those large purchases.
There's a long list of challenges you might encounter in the first 10 years of retirement. And we saved this one for last. And I apologize. Managing taxes.
Taxes. Death and taxes. Always so important, right? So there's a few things that you need to consider in retirement, things like Roth conversions. Should you? Could you? Another thing to consider is when to start taking Social Security benefits. That's a really easy one to trip up. So we help families make those decisions. And then the bigger one, too, is when and how to take money out of your IRA and Roth IRA accounts, essentially creating that paycheck for yourself. There's certain things that people who do it on their own get tripped up on. They don't know that Social Security is taxable. And depending on your income from other sources, your combined tax rates between you and your spouse, if you make over $44,000, 85% of your Social Security is taxable. So there's some potholes there that you have to navigate that's easier to do if you have someone like a certified financial planner on the Annex team.
So folks, if you're going to parachute into the wild jungle of retirement without a plan, the chances are you're going to wrestle with these challenges more than you should. Work with a fee-only fiduciary. Work with Annex Wealth Management. We'd love to help. Amy Brimmer, Wealth Manager and a CFP with Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Always my pleasure, Danny.
Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still. More than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services at Annex Wealth Management, is back. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Danny.
I love this. Five key signs you need to put more into your 401k. If there's one guy we're going to talk to about this, it's you, my friend.
Yes. Well, okay. You know, my base thing is if it doesn't hurt at least a little, you need to do more. But this, we're going to get into some more specifics than that.
See, here's the thing. Tom and I are totally on the same page because we do think it should hurt just a little bit because then you know it's happening. So let's run through this list. Tom and I are going to be your stern uncles on this one, and maybe this is a segment you should share with your Gen Z kids.
Please share this with them instead of whatever TikTok videos they're watching that are totally not going to help them.
First of the five key signs you need to put more into your 401k, you're not getting the full employer match.
That's an easy one, Danny. And here's the thing. When you and I talk about this, I always am cautious not to be judgmental or anything like that. I understand saving is difficult. It is a sacrifice. We all have bills to pay. However, it's something that you need to do. And starting with the employer match, that's a, a threshold you need to aim for. If you're not doing that, get to that point as fast as you can. And that's just a base minimum assumption.
Two powerful words, free money.
That's right, Danny. And it's an automatic rate of return on your investment. That's money that's just sitting on the table for you to take. So you got to do it.
This one's a little tougher. A key sign you need to put more into your 401k. If you have a fully funded emergency fund and no high interest debt.
Yeah, Danny, this means that you have margin. So your money isn't going to other key responsibilities. So you have some money to save for retirement. That's a great opportunity to allocate some of the money that you might have been putting toward your emergency fund or toward debt. You can now shift that over and start planning for the future.
A good way to think about it. We're with Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services at Annex Wealth Management. Five signs you need to put more into your 401k. Ooh, stand back, Tom. You're saving less than 10% of your paycheck.
Again, most experts are going to tell you that you should save somewhere between 10 and 15% of your pay. A lot of people go to that 15% number, which I think is overwhelming for a lot of people when you look at it. So I do think if you look at 10%, goes back to the idea of tithing and things like that. There's just, a lot of cultural history behind the number of 10%, and it is something that you should aim for. The earlier you can get there, the better, just because of the time value of money. But realistically, that is what you should be trying to set aside to prepare for your retirement.
Number four is your retirement income projections are too low. How do you decode that?
This one is a little tougher because it depends on what you're using to make those projections. A lot of 401k plans now, most of them, have the chassis that you're using as your provider has all these 401k income tools, and you can figure things out. But garbage in, garbage out, Danny. That's the key. So you have to make sure that you're putting in the proper information. A lot of times they base all those assumptions on what you have in that account. But if you have accounts outside of that and it's not taking it into consideration, this is why I always tell people you should work with a financial advisor, because they're going to gather all of that information together to provide you a more accurate projection.
Our fifth key sign that you need to put more into your 401k, and this is usually the one that gets people's attention, you want to reduce your tax bill.
This is the one where I kind of push back, and I have a lot of fun discussions with our financial planning department on this one, because I'm a big proponent personally of Roth, and I always tell people on the front end, I have a personal bias in favor of Roth, so I think it's important for people to know that. And if you're doing Roth, then you're not really helping with your current tax bill. But the key thing to remember here, I think, when it comes to taxes in 401k plans is, regardless of whether you're doing pre-tax or Roth, you are realizing a very powerful tax benefit. It's just a question of which one you're doing. So when you're looking at places to invest, if you want to just throw your money into a brokerage account, you're not getting any tax benefit out of that. If it's a long-term plan, you might as well do it in a tax-advantaged account, whether it's pre-tax or Roth. And the 401k is such an easy place to do it. The money comes right out of your paycheck before you get a chance to spend it on some stupid thing you probably don't need. So yes, taxes are a powerful motivation when it comes to 401k planning.
And, as far as the decision between the 401k traditionally or the Roth 401k, that's really sitting down with somebody from Annex Wealth Management.
Yeah, and we do that all the time. We help people figure out, like I said, either one, you're going to get an advantage. It's just a question of, based on your income, your long-term projections, all this stuff, what's the right approach for you? They're both great options.
Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Inflation, market volatility, global unrest, a presidential election. There's a lot going on, which might lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. You're not alone if you're feeling stressed about your investment and retirement planning. How about this? Take control with help from Annex Wealth Management. Build a plan that works for you, your family, and your investment and retirement goals. Even better, Annex does it as a fee-only fiduciary with unbiased advice that includes tax and estate planning. Annex offers financial planning at every level. If you're just starting out, Annex Ignite might be for you. Annex Comprehensive Wealth is a great fit for most, especially with retirement on the horizon. And if you've got high net worth and complex planning challenges, consider Annex Private Client. Head to AnnexWealth.com and click the Get Started button. It only takes a few minutes to start the conversation, and you can set your own appointment at a time that works for you. It's time to put things in order and lower the stress and anxiety. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management. AnnexWealth.com. We're back. Fiduciary advice on your schedule. It's live. It's radio. It's podcasts. Annex Wealth Management YouTube plus AnnexWealth.com. If you want to hear a podcast version of this show, that's going to be live at the top of the hour, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Danny Clayton. Dr. Brian Jacobson, our chief economist, is here. Dave Spano,
President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management. I know both you read the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if you read the column from the Yoders. It's called Retirement Rookies. Really kind of sweet. This is a couple that retired just within the last year or so, and it's all the things that they go through. Really sweet stories. Read one, and I want to share it with the audience because I think it's so good. And they were talking about what they got right in retirement so far. So much for patting ourselves on the back. Not surprisingly, we didn't get everything right. One misstep. We waited too long to hire a financial planner, less than a year before I retired. We should have done so 10 years earlier or 30. Our planner has mapped out reassuring scenarios for the rest of our lives. But with the professional help earlier, we would have fine-tuned our savings, investment, charitable giving, and tax strategies, allowing us to worry less about money leading up to retirement and avoiding what felt like a last-minute scramble. Yeah. That's what this show is about. Right. That's what we do at Annex Wealth
Management. And that's about education. Yeah, what a great story. Thanks for bringing that up. And of course, we do hear this a lot across all of our offices is, you know, after they go through the process, they do tell us, I wish I would have done this earlier. So if you're hearing this and you fall into that, we're ready, willing, and able to help you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. By the way, the first weekend of May, how about that?
Yeah, it really is. And of course, when the calendar turns into May, one of the old adages is sell in May and go away. And it's been around forever.
Yeah.
And it's been an interesting story, Brian.
It really is. And it goes back to actually in the city of London when you had the stock traders, the brokers, where they would want to leave the city during the summertime, because especially with, you know, sanitation systems, the city stank really during the summertime. And so they would want to go out to the countryside, basically end of May through. Now, the old saying was actually sell in May, go away, come again at St. Ledger's Day. Right. So St. Ledger's was this horse race, right? So that was basically like middle of September. So if you kind of think about if all of the stockbrokers are leaving town, going on vacation from the end of May until the middle of September.
Shakespeare probably had something to say about that, like he did about the lawyers. No offense.
He may have. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. That's a good idea. And the idea was that, you know, you'd see a lot less trading activity taking place, a lot more volatility, the ups and the downs. And so the idea was there was a lot more risk during those summer months. Now, the Stock Traders Almanac, which is this kind of great book that's been around for a very long time, they always look for these seasonal patterns and really report on it. It's almost like the Old Farmer's Almanac, but for stock traders. And they looked at the numbers going from the end of May until basically the end of October. And they found that, yeah, on average, the returns to the equity markets are lower during that period of time, during that six-month window, than they are during any other six-month
window. But it's not witchcraft. I mean, that it's happening. And of course, you know, the saying does align, you know, but the reason why Q4, the last part of the year, and Q1, quarter one, the first part of the year does better because that is when you start to see activity. That's when you start to see funding of pensions.
Yep.
There's a lot of reasons why that's happening.
There is. Yeah. There's all sorts of seasonal things. There's like also something called like the January effect, which can maybe be driven by the tax code. A lot of people, they can try to do tax loss harvesting. So you kind of look at what are your gains through the year? Are there any positions that are underwater that you can sell, maybe offset some of those gains? And then they try to re-enter them as you get into January. So some of these seasonal patterns, they do arise. But the problem is, I don't think that it's really tradable. You know, when I looked at the data going back to 1926, the actual adage that would have worked even better than sell in May and go away would have been sell in July. And a lot of it has to deal with just averages, right? No year is specifically average. You just have a lot of wide range of outcomes. Maybe some of the seasonal pattern that we see is driven perhaps by politics. Yep. If you think about some of the issues like the Greek debt crisis, that just so happened to really come to a boil in August. Was there something magical about August? No. I mean, except for the fact that my birthday is in August.
Well, that's magical.
Yeah, that is pretty magical. And then maybe some of it is, you know, Mark Twain talking about when Congress is in session, how nobody's you know, wallet is safe, where Congress goes on vacation, they go on recess in the month of August, and then they come back in September. And so sometimes you see policy changes. So I think it's not the season or the month. It's maybe there are certain political events that take place.
And that could certainly happen this year, folks. Of course, you can see the college protests going on, and that's not good for Biden right now. And of course, the DNC event is in Chicago, and there's a lot of talk about what could happen there. The RNC, of course, is in Milwaukee. And those are all things that could be market moving. We'll have to see if some crazy thing happens, they have one of the two political parties replace their nominee.
Sure.
Could happen. That would be an unforeseen event. So change is coming. There's no question about that. But that's the reason why you need to be nimble when managing your portfolio. And if you don't want to do that, if that's not your core competency, what should someone do?
That's right. Well, we think that really working with a professional to try to keep the emotions out of it, because I think one of the biggest dangers is people see what's happening in the markets, and then it's oftentimes when markets are down that they feel the most pain, and then they try to jump ship. And that might actually be the worst time to do it. So if you are emotionally driven with your portfolio, that's really a formula for losing out over the long term. So working with somebody who can be a bit more dispassionate and look at it more objectively is probably going to be a way in which you can stay invested and stay aligned with those long-term financial goals.
Brian, last week was a big week for data. What's next week looking like?
You know, thankfully, next week is mercifully mild in terms of the data releases, although there are some really important ones. We're still going to have earnings season. There are a few companies yet to report, but there are the consumer credit numbers coming out on Tuesday. So the extent to which consumers have been having to rely on high cost credit, their credit cards, to fuel their spending. We're going to get some of that data on Tuesday. And then at the end of the week, we get that University of Michigan preliminary survey for consumer sentiment. That's always an interesting one too.
Always watching for you folks. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave Spano, President and CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Folks, serving our clients, not about generating commissions. We don't sell investments. Our disclaimer is in a long whispered series of phrases. Try to breeze by insurance products. We're an open book. There's so many marketing phrases out there. Just know we operate as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. Just takes a couple of minutes to start that conversation with us. Click the Get Started button at our website. Thanks for listening. See you next Sunday at noon. Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
The Annex Wealth Management Show is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation.